Lord, open our ears so that we may hear. Open our minds that we may understand. But above all, Lord, open our hearts so that we may be transformed by your word and by your love. Amen. I think we all have a pretty good idea of what the Bible says about creation. We all know, I think, that there are two different stories in the book of Genesis. And also that many people take these stories literally. And then they use scripture as a weapon to attempt to discredit scientific validity about creation and evolution. Now, let me be clear about myself. I believe in evolution, that we are all the product of thousands of generations of ancestors, and that we've changed over time to become who and what we are today. But I also believe in the essential truths of God's word and the biblical stories, especially as reported in the first chapter of Genesis. Hear now God's word written so that we will know of his love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And for those who seek truth, this is the word of the Lord. We recognize that God is the creator of everything. Scripture tells us that God created by the Spirit, the one that teemed over the waters. Now, to be created by the Spirit, doesn't that mean that all creation is endowed with the Spirit of God? And God saw that all creation was good. It was very good. Can anything be good if it lacks the Spirit of God? How could it be that the Holy Spirit did not reside in everything? How could it be good? As in the Spirit of God indwell in the fish and the whales and the beasts and the animals of the land and the birds of the sky. Didn't God provide for all the creatures, all living creatures, for everything that has the breath of life in it, giving them fruit and green plants for nourishment? And didn't God see that everything he had created was very good? God's Spirit is in not only living beings, but also in the beauty of creation, the Spirit that lifts us up when we encounter its magnificence. The slide is of Mount Denali in Alaska. It used to be called McKinley. Long before that, it was called Denali. It's the tallest peak in North America. It is a sacred place. The next picture is the sea ice, shore-fast ice off Barrow, Alaska, where we lived. The sea ice, the polar ice cap, connects with the shore-fast ice every year, forming one huge mass of ice flow, although that doesn't look like it's going to last for very long. What God created is good. Everything God created is good. But when we allow it to be destroyed, we need to return to God and repent. And God equips us to fix what we have done wrong. The Apostle Paul writes to us about how this Spirit of God gifts us with incredible powers and talents. Hear now God's voice speaking to us, speaking to you in his first letter to the church in Corinth. We begin with the first verse of the 12th chapter. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are works of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. For the followers of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. It can be pretty hard to identify, to truly identify, the gifts of the Spirit that God has graced us with. I know there are courses and tests that attempt to figure that out. I've done a bunch of them. I know many people here have done them. But for me, when I was done, you leave feeling that something is missing. How does the Spirit touch you? What gifts have you been given? Do you have gifts that you've never used? Probably. But can we all agree that we all have been gifted by the Spirit, even if we're unsure of how, or even do not use those gifts? Can we all agree on that? Can we all agree that we are linked together by God's Spirit. And can we all agree that that same Spirit flows through us and flows through all creation and makes us brothers and sisters with all living things, and that we are inextricably linked together, for better or worse? Here in the European-based culture of 21st century North America, we tend to believe that we are separate from the animals that God created. But that is a cultural mindset. That's not true among the indigenous peoples of the Arctic. The Inupiat people, that means Eskimo, the Inupiat have been living a subsistence lifestyle for thousands and thousands of years. Now, their success, their survival in hunting and whaling is not due to any special skill they've learned over the centuries. Their continued survival, resides in their belief that the animals, the creatures of the sea, especially the bowhead whale, give themselves to the hunter for sustenance because they are linked together spiritually by the one God. Now, when I first heard that belief expressed, I looked at it as the viewpoint of an uneducated person who did not know the truth, at least the white American truth that I knew. How arrogant I was. And finally, I learned how enlightened the Inupiat view was. Imagine for a moment, if you will, that you are seeking food for your family, for your community. And the best source, maybe the only source of that food, is a 50-foot long, give or take a little, a whale weighing about 100,000 pounds, give or take a little again. Now, this whale can dive hundreds of feet below the surface, and can surface almost anywhere, completely silent until he breaks the water. He literally can sneak up on you. And your resources, five other men, one with a harpoon, the other with a gun, resembling a blunderbuss, all in a 16-foot-long sealskin canoe. Now, fully loaded, that canoe weighs about 1,500 pounds tops, against a 100,000-pound whale. The Inupiat whalers are in a contest that compares with an argument between an overloaded semi-trailer against a large motorcycle. But the thing is this. The whales almost never win. They generally can be approached and harpooned with no attempt to flee or fight. Many times they even come to the hunters. It is like the whale gives himself to the whaler. And when the whale is struck, a float is attached to a line so that the whale cannot dive or get away. And then, today at least, the whale is shot with a 50-millimeter bomb, a projectile that pierces the skin and then detonates with a small explosion, usually killing the whale immediately. Now, that technology is relatively new, only used for about the last 150 years. Prior to that, the whale with a sealskin float would just swim around until it died from exhaustion. Many times, they would harpoon it again and again. But eventually they would catch them. So what do you do with a 50-foot-long, 100,000-pound whale when you're in a canoe? Other whale crews will show up and help you tow it back to the edge of the shore fast ice, where hundreds of people from the town will gather and the block and tackle to drag that whale up on the ice where they can butcher it. It takes about 12 hours to completely cut up the whale. Every piece of edible flesh is taken and divided up amongst the whaling crews and the shore ice helpers, with some put away in the ice cellars for distribution to everyone on Thanksgiving and Christmas. The whalebone remains are left for the polar bears, who are fast running out of food sources. Some of the whale meat is sent to the inland villages, who in turn will send some caribou meat to the seaside villages, and on the tundra, some of the remains of the caribou or reindeer are left for the wolves and the foxes. Notice how everything in this scenario is interconnected. O everyone, from whale to inland dweller to caribou and wolf, are part of a never-ending circle of mutual dependence, woven together not just by the need for sustenance, but bound together by God's spirit of creation into what we might call God's circle. And the land and the seas are all part of that same circle. And the Spirit of God makes it all possible. Now, the Earth itself, a planetary orb, had all the resources needed for sustainable subsistence. At least, it did, until humankind started destroying this fragile planet. We have polluted the land and the seas. We have changed the atmospheric carbon levels so that global warming is not only certain, but appears to be irreversible before the oceans rise, destroying populated areas. And I'll be honest with you, it feels really strange to talk about global warming on a day like today. In our rush for more and more stuff, requiring more and more energy usage, we have contaminated the oceans. Just one small example. The BP oil spill at Deepwater Horizon in 2010, I'm sure you all remember that, has been semi-contained. After the cleanup of that spill of 210 million gallons, 80% of that amount, about 168 million gallons, of crude oil are still floating in the Gulf of Mexico in an underwater layer. 80% of it was never recovered. It's still there polluting. The saddest part of that story is that Deepwater Horizon still leaks every day. We frack under our land in the search for oil, basically putting toxic chemicals into our water supply. The number of earthquakes increases exponentially, and yet the oil producers tell us that it's just a coincidence. There are so many more examples, but you already knew that. We have turned our backs on God's creation, on God's circle. We have allowed devastation of the very environment that we depend on for life itself. We have harmed everything that Scripture tells us God has created. And the legacy we leave our grandchildren is of a world obliterated by our greed and denial of our own accountability. Our choice of lifestyle is directly responsible for the damage we do to creation. And we all do it, myself included. That's the American way, to consume and possess more and more. Everyone and everything else be damned. That's not God's way. We look at this as a failure of technology, but in truth, it is a spiritual failure. And if we go back to our reading from Genesis this morning, when God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And we developed a theology and understanding of our role in life as one of a creation monarch instead of a creation defender. It's time to return to the Lord. It's time to repent for how we treat the environment. It's time to change our habits. Now, the situation we are in took centuries to develop. We will not fix it overnight. But it's time to start as individuals and as a community of faith to begin with the small steps we can all do. And I'm not going to talk about the little things like turning off the lights. I suspect most of us probably do most of that. But let's look at what we can do as people of God, as people who have been given a voice, as people who are called to protect this earth. We must demand stronger enforcement of current anti-pollution laws. We must keep the environment alive as a political issue and make it a priority when we vote for our elected officials. We have to acknowledge that it is not just a local problem, that we are connected and it affects every person across this globe. all 7+ billion of us. And what we all do affects each other. We need to pray that the world's leaders will address the issues of global warming and environmental damage with integrity and in ways that will protect all living creatures. There is so much more that we as followers of Christ need to do and are called to do. And you understand a lot of those options. This is nothing new. But I'll let you decide what is right for you, for those of you who are moved to act. I'll let you decide for yourself. And when you decide what's right for you, don't just talk about it. Do it. That's what being a Christian is about. It's not about talk. It's about action. And in the season of Lent, let's return to the Lord and repent of our destruction of God's creation and restore it to the wholeness it once had. Repent. Restore God's circle. Amen. Praise God.